Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Gisela Rohde. Gisela is a self-taught naturalist, and she was talking to us about some of the berries and some of the bulbs that the local Native American people have used over the years. And this time we're going to talk about one of the bulbs in particular, the soap root.
Soap root, I think, is one of the most interesting bulbs to be used by Native people in this area. And it's called soap root or soap plant. And what's so amazing about it, it was used as a food. It was used as a cleaning agent. It was used as a way to catch fish. And it was used to make a tool, a brush. So how many plants can you think of that could be used for all of those purposes?
I'm interested in how it was used as a cleaning agent, you know, because if it's named soap root,
right.
I imagine it suds up or something.
Yes, yeah. There's a chemical compound in it called saponin, and there are other plants that also have this, and it creates a sudsing agent. And So you can crush the fresh root in water, and it'll actually lather up, so you can use it to wash hair, and it's supposed to be good if you have dandruff. Also for poison oak.
The oils or something.
Yeah, to remove the oils. Uh-huh. It was used for a cleansing agent that way. But another part of that chemical compound also would stun fish. So they would use that same frothy mashed concoction and put it in a pond or slow moving water. The fish would be stunned and they would float to the top of the water, and then the native people could easily harvest a bunch of fish.
Probably just go out there and grab them because
That's
they were
right.
just floating up there.
Yeah,
on the,
because
on
they
the
were
surface.
Stunned because of the soapy saponin. But probably the most important use for this plant was it was used as a food.
And isn't that interesting? Because you think of something that's going to stun a fish. Would you really want to be eating it as a food?
But yeah, which is remarkable. But the cooking process removed or deactivates that saponin, and that's why you're able to eat it once it's roasted. And the roots are quite large. The plants, often they grow in rocky areas, and they're not the easiest things to get out of the ground. But once you do, there's quite a bit of material there. And so I'm going to just briefly read you a description of how at least some people prepared the soap root. And there again, I'll just caution you, be sure that you know what you're digging up and that you aren't digging up something poisonous. Be sure that you have permission to dig it up because those are both very important issues to be addressed.
Okay.
So a pit was dug and a fire was built in the depression. When the fire died, ashes were removed and poison oak, huckleberry, and wild grape leaves were placed on hot rocks. Layers of soap plant bulbs were added and another layer of leaves. Alternating courses were topped with a layer of leaves, sand, and ashes. Another fire was started on top and left until the following morning when roasted bulbs were removed. After the bulbs were eaten, a small cleaning brush could be made from the fibers that were left.
Huh.
So how cool is that? After you get done eating your bulb, you can actually use the remains to make a cleaning brush. It looks like a shaving brush, an old-fashioned shaving brush, and they used it to remove the fine flour. If they had made pinole and they had it in a basket, they could remove the flour, small particles of ground acorn from their baskets using this brush. If you go to the Clark Museum in their Native American section, they have an example of one of those soap root brushes. So I think it's just an awesome plant.
So some of the other things people ate were seeds and nuts. What sorts of seeds and nuts are out there?
Well, they're seeds that you might not even think to eat. You might be familiar with a really showy plant. It's called Farewell to Spring or Herald of Summer. It's a Clarkia. So it's a very showy annual plant that you can actually buy as an ornamental. And they would gather those seeds and also blue wild rye, wild barley, wild oats, various grasses. They would harvest all of these And when they had a mixture, they would grind the seeds into a fine flour called pinole or pinole, and then they would use that for baking. Also, we have native sunflowers, tarweeds, and the narrow-leaved mule ears. They're all in the sunflower family. And so even though the seeds aren't as big as the sunflowers that we're familiar with, there was definitely enough there to eat. And they generally roasted those seeds and then would eat them after they were roasted. And then I was surprised, there's a plant called dogbane, and that particular one, they ate the seeds raw. And I'm surprised because dogbane has, if you break the stem, it has this kind of a milky sap. But apparently the seeds were quite tasty. So they would eat, you know, kind of snack on them as they were traveling from place to place. And then with the nuts, I'm sure you've had pine nuts, right?
Pine nuts, sure.
Well, the native people were right on top of it with pine nuts because they knew how delicious they are. And so they would gather them from sugar pine, gray pine, and others. Often what they would do is they would roast the pine cone. And in the process of roasting the pine cone, the cone would open and release the seeds. What they would do also is after they roasted the cone, they might remove it from the fire and then beat the cone with a stick. And then they could either eat them at that time or also save them. Another plant, pepperwood, it's a tree. It goes by many different names. It's Umbellaria californica, but it's called pepperwood or
California Bay. Is that the California Bay?
Or myrtlewood. It has many different names. But it has this nut, and so the outer shell was removed, and the nut was roasted, and it was often eaten with acorn mush. And that seemed to be true with several tribes, that they would mix those two together. Then there's also buckeye, which the nut was roasted and ground, and then it had to be leached for 10 days because there are toxins in the buckeye fruit. But after leaching for 10 days, it removed those toxins, and it was edible. And the other one is California hazel. And so you
hazelnuts.
Right. The native people had the same problem that we have. The squirrels and all these other critters love hazelnuts. So the native people hardly ever had enough to store, but they definitely enjoyed eating them. If they could get to them before the squirrels did, then that was something that they would eat. So yeah, they had a lot of different seeds and nuts to choose from. But the big one was acorns. Acorns was just a staple for the native people in our area. Perhaps not so much the people right on the coast had more options, but people inland really relied on acorns. And for some people, over 50% of their diet consisted of acorns.
Wow.
So there was a hierarchy of which acorn was the favorite. And can you guess which acorn was the favorite amongst the local people in our area?
Tan oak.
Yes, that's right. And what's ironic is that tan oak actually is not a true oak. It belongs to the chestnut family. But they call it tan oak because it has a lot of tannin in the bark. And so it was used as a tanning agent for tanning hides. And it was actually harvested commercially when the whites came to the area because of that tanning property. The tan oaks were definitely the favorite. And I came across this list here that the Yuraks and Hoopa collected 3 to 5 gunny sacks of tan oaks a year. The Karooks, 2 to 4. And then the Tolowa only collected 1 to 3. And the Tolowa live in Del Norte County and are more coastal. And I think the reason for the difference in the amount of tan oak acorns gathered is the accessibility, because the Tolowa didn't have as many tan oak trees as the inland Indians. As long as the acorns were left whole, they could store them for a long time. So it was a really important staple for just all of the native people in our area.
So today we've talked a little bit about one of the most important bulbs, the soap root, and some of the seeds and nuts, and the acorns. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Gisela Rohde.
Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, too. Come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.